Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 61. There's a wonderful passage of scripture here. And this psalm, many of the psalms were written, many of them by David, and many of them when he was going through various trials of life and experiencing things that everybody experiences, some people do. I guess if you're real spiritual. Anyway, I don't care how spiritual you are, you're going to face things in life. Man. But in Psalms chapter 61, I believe this is a very good psalm. I love all the Word of God, but let's see what it says. Psalm 61:1, "Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings, Selah. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform your vows." Father, thank you for your word today. I pray that your Holy Spirit would open our heart and our understanding to truth of Scripture. God, I do not know, but you know the heart and the life of every person here. You know what instruction is needed in the Word of God for each person. And I pray, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, you'd take charge, take control as we minister your word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Overwhelmed by life. Has anybody here besides me ever been overwhelmed? Amen. A few honest souls up there. Praise the Lord. And so we can be overwhelmed, just overcome by whatever problem it may be facing at the time. And overwhelmed actually means to faint or to be covered over. And there's times when you feel like you're covered over with so many things that you can't see anything good about anything. But let me remind you, God is good all the time. You serve a God who's not overwhelmed, but he's in power and glory and honor, and he can help you and walk with you and strengthen you by everything. Amen. People are overwhelmed with many things, by national crisis. People are overwhelmed by family affairs, finances, relationship problems, unanswered questions about life in general. But the good news is, I've told you, God is not overwhelmed by anything or anyone. God is not overwhelmed. We listen to people all the time. I know you do. You listen to the radio. You listen to the news. And it doesn't take very long before you don't hear good enough news to lift you up. But you hear plenty of bad news and things that are happening that just may overwhelm you. But you know God is here to walk you through whatever overwhelms you. And God loves you forever. Amen. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that there's nothing between death and life that the love of God doesn't cover. Amen. God doesn't love sin. He doesn't want you to indulge in sin. He hates sin, but he loves the sinner. Praise God. And let's notice here, first of all, David, the writer of this psalm, he says, "From the end of the earth I will cry unto you." And this, David had been driven from Jerusalem in this time. He wasn't close to the temple of God to worship. And it was thought that in the psalm he used this psalm in connection with the rebellion of his son Absalom. And we know if we go to the Old Testament, we find that Absalom was the son of David, and he intended to take over the kingdom. As a matter of fact, he intended to kill his dad, King David. He intended to take the kingdom completely and to rule and reign the kingdom of his father and take it by force. So with that on his mind, do you think David was not overwhelmed? If you put yourself in that place, if you think your own child, your own son is out to destroy you, you would be overwhelmed too. And so David was here. And he was far removed from the tabernacle of God. And the tabernacle of God was a place where God's presence dwelt. In the most holy place, we know that God was there in the Ark of the Covenant. 10 Commandments are in it. And we know that it was a place where God, nobody dared to go into the most holy place except the high priest once a year with a blood sacrifice for his own sins first and then for all the people sacrifice. So at this time, he was far removed from the tabernacle. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. And whatever he was going through at this time, it seemed to David like the end of the world. And I know that you've had times you wouldn't want to admit it, but anyway, you said, is this the end of the world? Is this all there is? Amen. And stories told to me of a man who slid off of a cliff, off the side of a cliff, and on the way down to certain death, he grabbed a tree that was stuck in the wall of the cliff. And he's hanging on, and he shouted out, is anybody up there? And he heard a voice said, let go. He cried out again, is there anybody else up there? Okay. But to David, it seemed like the end of the world. Surely he was going to die, my son Absalom. Surely he was going to, this wasn't going to turn out good, but yet God was there, and God was, even though David would be overwhelmed at the moment, he wasn't absent from God. I remember in the year of 2000, back to the year of 2000, that seems odd to say, but I remember people came over and prophecy teachers said, well, things will never be the same after the year of 2000. But 2001, things were just like they were. And here we are in 2023, and people are just like they are. And it hadn't changed the world. We're not at the end of the world. I believe the end of the world is coming one day. But I know who's in charge of that, and that's God. Hallelujah. And so perhaps David felt that God was not within reach right here. But I want to tell you, God is always within reach. As a matter of fact, God reached down, way down, when he saved me and when he saved you. Put both of us there because I don't want to feel guilty like the only one. Could he reach way down when he saved you and he saved me? He pulled us up out of sin and gave us eternal life instead. And God is with us. God never leaves us. Have I not commanded, Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. When you're overwhelmed, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. So God never is absent from you. I love that. Because God is just never absent. There's people, things that we love, we just wish were absent. Amen? But yet, God is never absent. How does God put up with us? He's God, that's how. All-knowing, all-caring, all-powerful, all-present, all-loving. Amen? And so that's the reason God does. He loves his creation. You were created in the likeness and image of God, and God has value for your life. Amen. He doesn't want you to walk in sin. He doesn't want you to be cast down or burnt down or burnt up or overwhelmed by life. He wants you to walk through this life with him leading the way. Hallelujah. And so God is always within reach. No matter how far you've strayed or how far you've drifted from God, God wants to bring you back. It does matter how far you drift from God. You don't want to drift from God. But when you have, by failure, have drifted from God, God says, come on back. I'm still real. I'm still here. I'm still present. Amen. And no matter how far you may have fallen, God has not forsaken you or left you. It's always God's will for people to come to him in repentance. God never approves of sin. And if you pursue sin, God doesn't approve in it. God hates sin. But my friend, it's never God's will for you to stray away and perish. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to salvation. Praise the Lord. God gives us assurance of this in His Word, 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. What you're going through, it's not something nobody else has ever heard of. But it says God is faithful. Love that. Stop and preach right there. God is surely faithful. If you review your life, you'll find that God has always been there. God has always been faithful. If there was any breach in that, it was you. It was not God. God says, I'm there. I'm faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation, He will make a way of escape. Our part is when God makes a way of escape that we take the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So God is never out of reach. He's always here. From the end of the earth, David said, I will cry unto thee. Man, you say, well, only babies and wimps and sissies cry. No, that's not true. Yeah, they do cry too, but anyway. This Bible tells me that Jesus wept. It's an emotion God has put within mankind. It's real. It's not sin. It's not wrong. It doesn't mean you all, I know some people just cry about everything. He's not talking about that. But soon you're overcome, when you're overwhelmed by life, you may cry. Your emotions may show up. But Jesus is never more than a prayer away. In the early church, in the book of Acts, they began to receive persecution. And God had sent them out. He didn't say, just stay here in Jerusalem where the Holy Spirit fell and it'll be okay. Just stay right here. Don't go anywhere. No, Jesus had said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every person. And so they were tempted to do this and do that. And they underwent persecution because even the Jewish community, they didn't like him preaching Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. They didn't like him preaching. They didn't like people preaching that Jesus is the only way to heaven. They wanted them to preach Judaism was the way to heaven. But that's not what Jesus preached. And they began to be persecuted, and some of the disciples there in Acts 4:31. And you know what they did when they were persecuted? It came into overwhelming things. Overwhelming persecution. They prayed. Amen. I've heard it said many times, well, all we can do is just pray. My friend, the greatest thing you can do is pray. If God can't handle it, it can't be handled. But I can tell you, God can handle everything and anything and always has. All your life, He's never left you. He's never been there. He's never run up against something where He wondered what in the world to do. He's God. He knows what to do. Praise the Lord. He doesn't have to figure things out. He's already got to figure it out before it ever happens. And here the disciples says, Acts 4:31, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were gathered together. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. They began to preach Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And they were threatened. Their lives were threatened. Many of them died for their faith. But they were threatened. They just kept on preaching Jesus is the way. They would preach Jesus. Turn to Him. He's the right way. He's the only way to heaven. Praise God. And they began to preach this gospel. People began to get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. Miracles and signs and wonders happened to them. Amen. God showed powerfully with signs following that He was the risen, exalted Savior, Christ. So David says here, from the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. Then he says, when my heart is overwhelmed. David's one of the greatest kings, probably the greatest king of Israel. But even the great people get overwhelmed sometimes. And so overwhelmed means to be covered over, or to faint, swoon. And we all come to this place one time or so in our life. And when we feel like we've exhausted every resource, and you pray, God help us, you know, you rebuke the devil, but he didn't buke. But you exhausted every resource that you know of. And you think, no, I know I'm going under, but nothing I can do, and I'm overwhelmed. My friend, you're in the very place where God can show Himself powerful and alive in your life. And there's many things we're overwhelmed by. A variety of circumstances can bring us to this place where we're overwhelmed. In life, in death, overwhelmed by fear, fear someone I love will die, let me give you some news here. We will all die. Didn't that make you feel wonderful? It is appointed unto man once to death, and after death the judgment. Two appointments we will not miss nor be late for. We have an appointment with death, and we have an appointment with God. Okay? So, every person will die physically. That means you die spiritually. But when we stand before God, our sins have already been judged at Calvary. And so there we won't face God in judgment. We'll face God in mercy. Amen. But if you're not saved, you'll face the judgment of God for your sins. So it means everything to be born again. So a variety of circumstances can cause us to be overwhelmed. Severe illness, loss of health, inability to pay bills, inability to vote people out that make bills. Anyway, that wasn't in my notes. But God often allows us to experience the limits of our capacity. And the limit where we can't handle it anymore, we must call on God. You know, that's good when we need to call on God, because we quit trusting in self and all of other things that people can tell us what to do and how to do it. And amen, somebody's got an answer for everything. But I want to tell you, the real answer is Christ. It's in relationship with Him. Amen. And so we face things in life. God often allows us to experience things that there's no other answer but Him. And sometimes God waits as we struggle. God doesn't put us just there just to make it hard on us. But no doubt God gets tired of listening, whatever our answer may be. And there may be times when you see no way of escape or no escape route. But you know, His purpose is to teach us not to trust ourselves, but to trust in Him. Praise God. And when you're up against the wall and when you're overwhelmed by life, God says, trust me. Amen. Praise the Lord. God spoke to Sister Norma that when I was in the hospital and almost died. God spoke to her and said, just trust me. But you know, the Bible tells us not just somebody, but all of us. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean to your own understanding. That's hard because we think we know it all sometimes. We know we don't, but we want to think that, make everybody else think we know it all. Lean not unto your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your steps. Amen. In all of our ways, that's hard, because we have ways and things we want to do our own way, our own self, you know, and things hadn't worked out for me here. Why didn't God do this? Why didn't God do that? My friend, you can go along with that all day if you want to. It won't solve any problems. You just need to say, Lord, I trust you no matter what. You've got this. Your ways are past finding out. You walk people through the wilderness. You walk people through flame and through fire. You walk people through stuff that I'm going through right now. Millions of people, you walk them through the same things, and you still have the answer and are the answer today. Praise God. And if I look back at Israel in the wilderness, they wanted something that would help them. And, you know, they're the whiningest bunch, kind of like us. They were going through 40 years of wandering in a wilderness, and there was no water and there was no food. And God, every morning for 40 years, provided them with manna from heaven. One place in the book of Psalms says men ate angel food. I've been in some places where it wasn't angel food. And God always provided water from a rock. And many believe that that rock followed them through the wilderness. And God would bring water out of the rock, and it would quench the thirst in a wilderness that was dry and barren and no rain, to give them drink, and not to mention drink and water for all their flocks and herds. And everybody had a herd. Amen. I've met a few people that were a herd. No, forget that. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, all drink, speaking of Israel, they all drink that spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them in the wilderness, and that rock was Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:4. Amen. And so, in the wilderness, travel for 40 years, always water from the rock. They never lacked anything. God provided for them from everything. They griped about everything, but God still provided. God has mercy. And when we whine and complain and gripe sometimes, God still has mercy on us. And he looks back and he says, when have I ever left you? When have you ever been without me? When is the time that I've never provided for you? When is the time that you've hurt for your last breath, or you drank the last drop of water, ate the last bite? I want to tell you, God always shows up. You know, he doesn't just show up. He's never left, really. Praise the Lord. He's the present Jesus. And through all that travel of wilderness, God quenched their thirst. And God still quenches spiritual thirst today. Praise the Lord. A few years ago, I was in the hospital and I just stopped by the room of a man. I didn't know him. But he was crying out in pain. He was in pain. And I said, I got to go in there and pray for that guy. And I talked with him a little bit, and he had cancer in his bowels, and he was in extreme pain. And I talked with him a little bit, asked him about his relationship with God. He was a Christian. He was a Christian, no doubt about it. He was a Christian. But he could never get hardly any relief from the pain. But he had Jesus. So I said, sir, we're going to pray with you. And so we prayed together. Praise the Lord. I knew he was saved. I knew he was ready to meet God. We prayed with him, and I received news very shortly after that he died. But I want to tell you, friend, when he left this world, he went to be with Jesus. Amen. He went to a better place where there's no pain, sorrow, sickness, or death. That's a place we're entered in going to, my friend. One day God has a great plan for you. He's not just some politician that has a plan that never works out. God's plan is always certain and sure and true, and it will always be right. Praise God. So many times, Israel felt overwhelmed in the desert. The wind, the desert, the rocks. But Christ, the rock, was never overwhelmed. And I'm telling you here, God is still, as he provided for the natural thirst of humanity in those 40 years in the wilderness, God provides spiritual water to quench spiritual thirst today. John 7:37, on the last day, the great day of that feast, Jesus stood and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being, his heart, shall flow rivers of living water. God's invitation is always there. He says, if you've got problems, you're overwhelmed, come to me. I've got what it takes. I've got the answer. I am the answer. Amen. Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. God charges nothing. He doesn't charge an unreasonable price. Jesus paid it all on Calvary. He loves you. He cares for you. He's saying, come to me if you're overwhelmed. I'm going to take care of this. I've got this. Amen. He's a God that's able to take whatever you've got if you feel overwhelmed by, so you will be overwhelmed no more. But have peace in your heart that God's got it taken care of. Amen. The idea of a rock and God as being the rock is throughout Scripture. In the book of Exodus, chapter 17, verse 6, God told Moses, smite the rock and water will come out. And it'll take care of this whining bunch behind you. That's my translation. So he struck the rock and water came out. And that rock was a type of Christ. Christ, the rock was Christ. And he is Jehovah God today, and he is our rock. You know, you hear about people saying, you know, this person in the family, she was the rock of the family, or he was the rock of the family. Well, that's true. They may be a person that's trustworthy, that can stand, and that keeps going on no matter what, and that's good. But we need a rock that never moves. Deuteronomy 32:4, it says, he is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is He. I tell you, friend, you can't say that about any person, but you can say it about God. A God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is He. His work is perfect. Praise the Lord. And God's not going to fail. And a rock is a symbol for strength. Amen. If a rock is there and it's solid, it's going to hold. Praise God. Jesus said, build your house upon a rock, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. Amen. And the rock is a symbol of a place of defense. Because you see, God is bigger, God is stronger, God is protective as your Father. Amen. My earthly father was protective. He was strong. He was a great Christian. Loved God, lived for God, believed in marriage. He was married to the same woman for 72 years. I think that one's going to work, isn't it? Yeah. But he watched out for us. He wasn't overprotective, but he watched out for us. Amen. Good father. But he challenged me, look to your heavenly Father. Because he knew there'd come a day when I'd leave the house and I would have to depend on the real, true heavenly Father to help. And God did, but he taught me right. So a rock is a symbol of strength. He told me to lean upon this rock. Amen. If you will come to Jesus Christ today, He will be the place of strength and defense for you. He will be the place where you're not overwhelmed with life, where you're not taken down. Amen. Where you don't go to the place where you say, I give up or I quit. God never quits. I never found one place in the Bible where God said, I'm tired of everybody, I just quit. Amen. I knew of a preacher one time that he got mad at his congregation, everybody in there. They probably hadn't done nothing that any congregation hadn't done. But he got up on a Sunday morning, opened his Bible, and he said, and then he closed, and he says, I quit. And he got down and walked out the church door, never to be seen again. Don't get worried. It ain't going to happen here. Maybe you wish. Can't quit. Quit what? Quit God for what? What the world has to offer? Quit God so you can be guilty and full of shame again? Quit God so you go to hell instead of go to heaven? No, there's nothing to quit. We keep on moving on for God. Amen. God loves us. God cares. It's His will for you to keep marching on. Praise the Lord. We're going toward a heavenly destination. My friend, there's nothing to turn back to. We turn to God with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hallelujah. He's able to walk you through the darkest valley. He's able to walk you through the most fearsome enemies you may come across, and God is powerful and mighty. He hadn't lost any of His power. He's God forever, and He's your God, and He's with you. Just walk with Him. Don't be overwhelmed. Look to Him, who's to help you overcome when you're overwhelmed by life. Praise the Lord.